Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? And I'm going to ask you to stand as I read from the Word of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning our reading at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning our reading at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the ministry of his word. You may be seated, friends. This has to be one of the most amazing truths in the entire Word of God. Namely, that you and I have welcome and instantaneous access into the very presence of God. Because of Jesus, we can come directly into God's presence. The Bible said that we can do it boldly, and we can do it because Jesus has provided for us a new and living way. Those words, a new and living way, mean literally by a fresh way. I want to tell you the access that Jesus Christ gives us to God is always fresh. It is just as fresh for you and me today as it was for the writer to the Hebrews nearly 2,000 years ago. I'm glad that that way into the presence of God remains fresh. The reason is the blood of Jesus Christ made it possible. And on the basis of that blood, we are exhorted to draw near to the holiest itself. Now, my wife and I have learned somewhat about drawing near in access in the past 2 weeks. When you go through customs, you have to draw near the place whether they either will admit you into the country or will not admit you. And you do it in a tenuous manner. You don't walk up before those officers as if you own the world, but rather you do it in a humble manner. And I found if you do it in a humble manner, you usually have no difficulty. But you always are wondering, will anything go wrong? And yet, tucked away in your heart, you do not feel that anything is going to go wrong. The reason is we had on our person a simple little document. And that document had a request from the Secretary of State of the United States of America. Mr. Schultz asked that customs officer if he would be so kind as to personally let James D. Brown and D. Ann Brown pass through that gate. Now, wasn't that nice of Mr. Schultz to do that for my wife and me? Oh, I don't mean it was a personal thing, but it's right on our passport. And we knew that we would have access because we had that passport. Well, I want to tell you, child of God, you and I have our passport this morning. And on that passport, the Son of the Living God says, Father, would you be so kind as to let my people pass into your presence? And the Father honors the request of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that we come boldly into the presence of our Lord. The other day, as Sister Brown and I were driving down the road in China, and literally in China, you cannot go two blocks without seeing people. We were on our way to Canton, which itself has a population of 5 million people. The first time we had been in the nation of China. And as I was sitting there, I thought how wonderful it is that now this country has been opened up. I thought how wonderful it is that we Americans can now see this country which we had been barred from. And I thought one man was responsible for that. Our former president, Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon opened up Red China to American citizens. And I confess unto you, I was sitting there very grateful to Mr. Nixon that he had opened up Red China to my wife and myself. But then it dawned upon me, however, there was another who opened something up, and a far greater than Richard Nixon was he. I thought of the one who opened up the very presence of God. I thought of the one who opened up the majesty of heaven. I thought of the one that gave us access to the throne of heaven itself, Jesus Christ the Lord. I remember when I was a boy being in Alabama, the saints of God used to sing an old song, Jesus Christ the Lord, open up the way to heaven's gate, open up the way. When the Savior died upon the cross to redeem the lost, he prepared the road, 'tis a blessed abode, but it leads us safely home to God. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ has opened up that way into the very presence of God for you and me this morning? Oh, how indescribable is God's grace toward us in this matter. Now, as a result of that, there are three things the writer exhorts us to do. Number one, let us draw near. Let us draw near. If the Son of God has opened up the way into the presence of God, let us not be afraid then to approach God's throne. But there are qualifications for doing so. He said, first of all, with a genuine heart. There's no way that our hearts can be genuine unless they're cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad God has taken care of that. John put it this way. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that walketh in the light as he is in the light. If we do that, he said, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And literally it means the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from all sin. I'm glad to tell you, child of God, the blood perpetually cleanses us from all sin. That fountain never runs dry. There is a perpetual fountain open to the house of David. I thank God the fountain of blood is still open for you and me. And because of that blood, we can come to the throne of God with a pure heart, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Obviously, what the writer means is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has already said how that when Moses gave the commands of God to Israel, he took blood and he sprinkled every appurtenance of the tabernacle, every appurtenance had blood sprinkled upon it. There was not one thing that related to the service of God that was not sprinkled with blood. You and I are no good to God. You and I are no good to ourselves unless our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus and thereby purged from an evil conscience. Your conscience is not evil if it's been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. We need to constantly take inventory as God's people and let that sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb continue so that our consciences are purged from evil. And the Bible said, and our bodies washed with pure water. This is obviously referring to what Paul says. He says how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So this washing of our bodies by pure water is the washing of the word of God. Right now, as you're seated in the presence of God and the word of God is going forth, you are being washed by that word. There is a washing in the word of God. God help us to ever be coming unto God's laver. God help us to ever be washing our spiritual hands in that laver that typifies the word of God. God help us to continuously come to this book so that we see ourselves as God sees us. And I thank God if there are any deficiencies, if any sins are revealed, this word always points us to the high priest, and the high priest in turn takes care of the sins so that we perpetually can draw nigh to God. Listen, child of God, one of the biggest tricks of the devil is to keep you from the throne of God. If the enemy can keep you from God's throne, he has you defeated. You will not be able to go long on past experience. There may be a residue of divine power within us from past experiences, but those don't last too long. That's why daily we need the washing of the word. That's why daily we need to approach this word. And I thank God that this word is just as real in Singapore as it is in America. The same God that quickened my soul when I go to the word in New Orleans quickened my soul when I've gone to the word overseas. I've found that geography does not matter. The thing that matters is the presence of Almighty God. And when we come into the presence of God, irrespective of our geographical status, I'm here to tell you the word of the living God lifts us up, encourages us, crystallizes our thinking, and puts an impetus in our soul that helps us daily to worship and to serve the Lord our God. We need the cleansing of the word of God. Let us draw near. The second thing that the writer enjoins us to do, because we have a great high priest over the house of God, is that we hold fast our profession. For faithful is he that promised. Friends, hear me. We are living in an hour when God is shaking the church. I don't think there's ever been a day that the writer to the Hebrews' words are being fulfilled as now. Everything is being shaken, that which cannot be shaken might remain. But it's an encouraging thing. I thank God, God is beginning to do something in his church. I thank God as we're getting closer to the trumpet sounding forth that God is beginning to move upon his church. Slowly but inexorably, God is calling us back to the thing that made us what we are. It's called all holiness. Many people have forgotten that word. That is a threadbare terminology to many people. But I want to tell you, if God's people are anything, they are holy people. And I believe that once again, the mighty Spirit of God is moving on His church. And once again, holiness is going to become the charm word of our dialect as we walk with the Lord our God. Let's hold fast. It's no time to release that grip which we have on the things of God, but rather it's a time to keep building our hopes on things eternal and holding to God's unchanging hand. Now, the reason we can do this so confidently, the writer answers, for God is faithful who promised. If you want to read a depressing state of affairs, read the epistles to the church at Corinth. I want to tell you, if a church ever had problems, they had problems in the church at Corinth. You look at the problems they have and the maze of confusion that results, and you think, how could God possibly do anything with this church? But tucked away in the very first chapter is the key to the entire book. Paul says in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, but God is faithful, who hath called us into the fellowship of His Son. That is the only thing that could have encouraged Paul, to recognize God is faithful. I'm glad when man is unfaithful, God is faithful. The Bible said, if we deny Him, He remaineth faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. In other words, if God acted the way we act, then He would deny Himself if He became unfaithful, as we often are. But praise God, He is faithful. And the promises He has given you, child of God, He is going to fulfill. I want you to hear that this morning, and I want you to believe that. The devil has told you those promises are not going to be fulfilled. He has told you that rather than being fulfilled, they are farther than they've ever been from realization. He has told you that God is going to leave you in the lurch. He has told you that you're not going to get above that particular situation in which you find yourself enmeshed this morning. He has told you that you might as well throw in the towel. But I want to tell you, as your pastor, that God is faithful and He will keep His promises. He is not man that He should lie. The promises of God is true. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. The Abraham kept walking before God, and the Bible said he staggered not by unbelief. There were times he could have tripped. He could have looked at the size of the obligation. He could have looked at the obstacles, and he could have accordingly tripped over them. But the Bible said he staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, for he was persuaded that what the Lord promised, he was able to perform. If God cannot back up His promises, then God is no longer God. But if God can back up His promises, then God is God. I tell you, He is God this morning, and He can and He will back up His promises to you and make Himself real in the depths of your soul. He's faithful who gave us the promises. It's so wonderful to contemplate that when God said it, it's going to come to pass. You and I have seen that. How we've ever seen the faithfulness of God. Oh, these past few months, over and over again, God's faithfulness has just stood out. And we have recognized truly, God keeps His promises. So, Let's don't throw away our confidence. Let's don't throw away our profession. Let's don't give up. Let's don't turn around. But let's be committed and go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the old song says, many once started to run in the race, but with the Savior, they could not keep pace. Others accepted because it was new, but there aren't very many who seem bound to go through. Although I would say we would have to upgrade that in recent years. I believe increasingly you find more and more of God's people, quantitatively as well as qualitatively, who have committed themselves unreservedly to God. I know one thing. I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that will have an abundant entrance ministered unto us into the kingdom of God. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, if I can just make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'll be satisfied. Well, I wouldn't count on that. There are too many in line ahead of you on that one. Heaven's already got in too many applications on that one. I'd just rather have an abundant entrance ministered unto us into the everlasting kingdom of our God. And then he said, finally, what you need to do is to consider one another. Brother Larry Sundin and I began taping the other day for the radio broadcast I'm on gratis every day. Is it, what is it, WBSN, Brother Flanagan? What, this Christian radio station. And I'm on 60 to 90 seconds every day, and they change it so that when the month is over, I've covered all of their public. Their entire listening public in a month's time, we've covered. It's just a 60 to 90 second message. And we sat down and I began to record. And I kept recording and kept recording. And I recorded 25 of them. And 25 of them were on the phrases to one another, having something to do to one another in the Bible. And so over and over, the Bible reminds us of our relationship to one another. You just check that out someday. How many times the New Testament talks about our relationships to one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to honor one another. We're to prefer one another. We're to confess our faults to one another. And so on and so forth. And it's amazing how the relationships are spelled out in the New Testament. So here the writer says that we are to consider one another. If we only consider ourselves, we're not going to be happy at all. The truly fulfilled person is the one who's considered somebody else. He's not content to consider himself. Rather, he considers his brother and his sister in the Lord, in honor, preferring one another. And we need then, as we consider to each other, to do two things. To provoke one another, said the writer, to love and to good works. Have you ever been around people and when you leave them, it's easier for you to love people? Have you ever been around people and when you leave them, you feel more encouraged than ever to do the great work of God? Have you ever been around people of God that are so enthused over God's work that it becomes contagious and you leave saying, I'd like to do God's work as well? That is the mark of provoking each other to love and to good works. So what you and I need to do here at First Assembly is to continue to incite one another, to motivate one another, to provoke one another, first of all, to love, and then to good works. As we encourage each other to love, as we encourage each other to good works, then God will continue to make of this congregation what He wants it to be, and it is the same with congregations as it is with individuals. Primarily, God is wishing to conform First Assembly of God into the image of His dear Son. And when we provoke one another unto love and unto good works, that is most assuredly going to come to pass. Well, I'm encouraged today because I have access into the very heart of God Himself. Jesus Christ the Lord has made it possible. And I'm glad to tell you, child of God, that you and I can draw near today. You and I can consider one another. And you and I can hold fast. You know why? We've put our confidence in the right person. Now, I want to share with you a bizarre story, and yet a true story. This actually happened. A lady was sentenced to die in the electric chair after she would be kept in prison for a certain amount of days. She said to the judge, "You can just count on it. You will never put me to death. I will find a way to escape before that ever happens." And so they put her on the train, taking her to the prison where she would wait for the death sentence to be carried out. Being the very ingenious person she was and of an evil mind, she thought, "What can I possibly do to escape from that prison?" As they had come on the prison grounds, she suddenly noticed an old man. He had a casket in a wheelbarrow, and he was taking that casket down the hill. And she noticed that when he arrived at the hill, he removed the casket from out of the wheelbarrow, and then he lowered it down into the ground, and he threw the clumps of earth down on the casket and buried the person. And when she saw that, she saw her ticket to getting out of that prison. The first thing she did was make friends with this old man who buried the prisoners who died. And after she had made friends with him, she felt confident enough to approach him. "Now, if you will help me escape, I will pay you well for doing so." And after much persuasion, the old man agreed to assist her in her escape. The plan was, when somebody would die, a bell would ring throughout the prison. And then she said, "When that happens, I will come and slip in the casket with the corpse, and you take the corpse and myself in the casket down to the burial place, put us in the ground, and then after a couple of hours, you return and come and take the dirt off the top of the casket and release me, and I shall be free." And so the plan was set. And a few days after that, this woman heard the bell ringing. She said, "Aha, now is my chance." And very furtively, she slipped over to the death house. And she saw the casket there, and she climbed into the casket with the corpse. And as she was lying in the casket with the corpse, she began to hear footsteps. And she knew that the old man was coming to take her down to the grave. And so she could sense, as she was being placed on the wheelbarrow and the bumpity, bumpity, bumpity bump of the casket as they were going down the hill. Then she had a sensation that the casket was being lifted and then placed into the ground. And as she was lying there, suddenly above the lid of the casket, she could hear the clump, clump, clump of the dirt as it was coming down on the lid of the casket. So far, so good. Now all she will have to do is wait 2 hours until the old man shows up and takes the dirt off where she is buried alive and releases her, and she shall be a free woman. She waited 2 hours, and the old man didn't show up. She thought, "Well, where is the old man?" And so she didn't want to panic prematurely, so she waited 2 more hours, And still the old man had not shown up. And finally, in her desperation, she took a match that she had with her. And she struck the match and looked at the face of the corpse that was lying in the casket with her. Yeah, you're ahead of me, aren't you? Her problem was she put her trust in the wrong man. Well, I want to tell you, over 30 years ago, I put my trust in a man. Over 30 years ago, I said, when death comes, I'm going to trust this man. Over 30 years ago, I said, when the lid is closed over my head, should our Lord tarry, I shall trust this man. And I want to tell you, thank God, unlike that poor woman, I have not put my trust in the wrong man. For that man is not in the casket with me. Glory to God. He came out of the casket. He's alive at the Father's right hand. And because I put my trust in the right man, you and I now have access into the presence of the Lord our God. Let's stand and thank this right man that he is our life today. Glory to God. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we stand in the presence of God with heads bowed and eyes closed, and while the blessed Holy Spirit of God is here so preciously, so edifyingly speaking to the souls of God's people, but also to the souls of those who have not put your trust in the right man, I ask you today, friend, if you're here without God, to put your trust in the right man. That man is the Lord Jesus Christ. That man is the Redeemer of your soul. And so while now we hold steady, nobody moves, nobody leaves, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd like to see the hands of every man, woman, boy, or girl here this morning who will say, Pastor Brown, I need to put my faith in the right man, Jesus Christ. I've been putting my faith in the enemy. I've been putting my faith in sin, and I know that I'm going to be lost if I continue to do so. But I'd like to have this access into God's presence. I'd like to know this right man, Jesus Christ, who helps me come directly to the throne of God. Would you pray for me today that the Lord will help me? I want to know Jesus. I'm tired of the load and the fetters of sin. Pray for me, sir. I need God today. All over the sanctuary, just slip up your hands right now. God bless you. Yes. How many more? Just keep lift. Yes. God bless you. There's another. Thank God. How many more? And over here, here's another. Thank you kindly. Just keep lifting your hands until I've seen them. To my far left there, sir, I saw your hand. How many more will join these who've lifted their hands, signifying they need God? To on the front row, sir, I've seen your hand. You may put it down. And then near the back, there's a hand. Thank you kindly. God bless you. How many more saints of God, if you've ever prayed, would you pray this morning, God, by His Spirit? Yes, there's another. Thank you, sir. Near the back, just to my left. Thank God the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts right now. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of God, is moving among us. How many more as we continue to wait? You'll say, I need God, Pastor. I need to be saved. I need to know the right man. Pray for me today. Or are there others as we continue to wait? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I'm going to pray for you who've lifted your hands in these moments. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. I thank thee he has spoken to the hearts of these dear people, and by uplifted hands they have signified they need God. They indeed, Father, want to put their confidence in the right man. And I pray, O God, thou shalt help them as they do so. I pray this very day they shall come to know him, of whom to know is life eternal. May that peace for which they are so hungry, for which they are searching so sincerely, be given unto them this very day. I thank thee for hearing us and for granting these petitions in Jesus' name. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Now I've prayed for you, dear friends, who said you wanted to go to heaven by lifting your hands. I've prayed to that right man who's at the right hand of the Father this morning. Now there's one more step I want you to take if you really want to go to heaven. I want you to come down the aisle right now to this old-fashioned altar prayer. I want to have the privilege of leading you in a simple prayer, and God will come in your life. That's right, they're coming. That's right, come on, you that need God, you who lifted your hands, others of you who did not, who should have, just come right now. That's right, God bless you. That's right, just come right on. That's right, every one of you lifted your hands, and others who need God, just move to God's altar right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep coming today. Keep coming today. God bless you. Keep coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Keep coming as I sang this beautiful chorus. Thank you, sir. He lives. He's the right man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He does live. He's alive forevermore at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Listen, you that have come this morning, would you look at me for just a few moments? I'm so thrilled you've responded to the call of the Spirit of God. That which you have felt in your heart was really not you. That was the voice of the Holy Spirit. Something was saying you've been putting your trust in the wrong person, but now you're going to put your trust in the right person, Jesus Christ. He's alive. He's right for you. He died in your place to forgive you today. Now, I'm going to ask you to just repeat the simple prayer in which I lead you. If you will pray that prayer and will mean it from the depths of your heart, I don't care what sins you've committed, they shall be forgiven today. Every one of them. As far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove your transgressions from you. Now, would you pray this prayer after me? Repeat it after me. Really mean it now, and God will forgive you. Pray with them, friends, to encourage them this morning. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I confess I am a sinner. I make no excuse. I should not have sinned. But I did. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You've promised me if I would confess my sins, that you would forgive me of my sins. So I'm confessing them right now. Fulfill your word and forgive me. Cleanse my life. Let the blood cleanse me. I surrender all. I really mean this prayer. By your help, I'll live for you. So now, Lord, I thank you. You hear me right now. And forgive me of my sins. In your mighty name. Amen and amen.